we were in the right place at the right time, and we got our sales strategy right, got our marketing strategy right.
All the while, you must tell your story, and you must be focused on serving them.
It's not real necessarily outcome. It's the knowledge that you gain, you know, while you're facing these issues.
We get so caught up in trying to do everything at once, where success is simultaneously not sequential.
Welcome to the Ajax Union B2B Marketing Podcast. On this podcast, we interview CEOs of the fastest growing companies in the U.S. Our goal is to find out what they did to grow so fast, what business and marketing strategies they used to have explosive growth. And now your host, Joe Applebaum, CEO and founder of Ajax Union, a B2B digital marketing agency in Brooklyn, New York.
Kurt Bashford is the CEO of GD, formerly General Devices, a medical device and software technology company whose core purpose is to improve the health and well-being of the public at large. Kurt shares with us what he did in order to secure him a spot on the Inc. 5000 this year. I'm really excited to have a fellow EO member join me on this episode. Let's begin this amazing episode and find out how Kurt grew his business. Welcome to the Ajax Union B2B Marketing Podcast. As you know, we're interviewing dozens of CEOs and leaders of Inc. 5000 businesses, and your business was featured on the Inc. 5000 this year as number 2,503. Congratulations, that's amazing.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. So right at kind of at the halfway mark there.
The halfway mark. You're in good company. So it shows that your 2016 revenue was $6.1 million, which is a three-year growth of 142%. That's a pretty incredible growth for a business.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the trick will be sustaining that, right?
Yeah. We'll talk more about that. So I'm so glad that you can join us here today. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us about your business, your growth, your marketing strategies. Are you ready to share some insights on this program?
Ready to roll.
All right, let's do it. So you mentioned earlier about getting out of your comfort zone. Do you feel like you get out of your comfort zone when you talk about your business, like when you tell the story of your business?
I used to, not so much anymore. You know, it's muscle memory a little bit. When I do it and can just roll and talk, not so bad. But
cool.
If I think about it too much, it's harder.
So let's try to test some of that muscle memory. Tell us a little bit about your business. What do you do and why do people do business with you?
Right. So you know, as a why, you know, we solve some needs out there for hospitals and emergency medical services. So we create some innovation, which we call responsive innovation, to solve some of our problems and help those two entities communicate better, ultimately to save time, save money, and certainly for save lives and help healthcare.
That's awesome. So you're supporting hospitals by creating technology that helps them be able to do what they need to do faster and better. Is that what
faster,
it is?
Better and helping ambulances, emergency medical services communicate with those hospitals better to help cool. them transition to patient care.
So what do you attribute your growth over the past 4 years? Do you have something specifically that you did? I mean, because your business was founded when I was born.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I've been here. This is my 31st year here now. So I started when I was two. We've gone through a few different evolutions. Probably the biggest, you know, pivot point, we went through one. We went from becoming a design manufacturing firm, a design contract firm, into a manufacturer. That was one pivot back in about 1990. And then we had our own products. But, I mean, we had some moderate growth, but we were kind of really an operational-centric company. I'm an engineer by background. The founder is an engineer. So we're very engineering, technically oriented, which means we make cool stuff, but we don't know how to sell it.
So what changed? How did you start selling it?
We had some processes and we did well in some niche, you know, territorial markets and such like that. But we hadn't broken that ceiling, if you would. In 2011, the founder retired and myself and my two partners were, you could say, his exit strategy. And that kind of opened the door for us to make another pivot. You know, there was a good company. He had a great foundation here, but we kind of wanted to go a little bit bigger, a little bit different direction. So we started to make some changes. First set of changes was on the sales force. We only had a few direct guys. So where we had boots on the ground, we did well. And guess what? Where we didn't have boots on the ground, we didn't do so much. So we put some practices in place here, linked up with a manufacturer's rep organization to get some more boots. And that gave us a little bit of growth, a little bit of working capital to start to do some other things. And it thrust me into a new role. So I went from being, you know, in operations, but more technically oriented to, you know, being the CEO to run a business. My degree, undergrad and master's in engineering. What do I know about running a business? So, you know, it hit me like a lead balloon, I guess, that I got to go learn some things. So I got a business coach and that helped set things off. And then kind of like you, I believe, in 2014, I got involved with EO. So I'm a member of EO New Jersey. And, you know, between those two, that kind of thrust me into the world where others learning, you know, everybody's got the same issues and problems. And you know, how do we do these things? And so I got into a kind of a learning mode then, and then applied some of that here, you know, building from the culture up, because before then, I didn't even believe culture was a real thing, right? And again, an engineer, we don't have feelings, we don't have emotions. What do you need culture for?
That's pretty incredible. I'm a technical person myself. So totally, I totally get that. Like, what do you need culture for? Let's just get the work done. Let's find a solution. Right.
Those fuzzy things.
So since you got a business coach and you joined EO, you grew your business significantly. You're featured on the Inc. 5000. Now that you grew the way that you grew, like, what's more important to your business right now? Is it now, are you looking back and saying, okay, now I'm focusing on pre-tax profit, I'm focusing on EBITDA, or I'm going to continue to double my business over the course of the next 3 years? Like, what's your approach now?
Yes, good question. I think we're still in a growth mode. So we had some, you know, growth as evidenced by the awards. And we want to continue that. I don't know that we quite want to double. Our BHAG is to hit 10 million revenue. Now, again, that by itself we know means nothing, right? You know, revenues for vanity. And all that. But that's kind of our target. So it really comes out of the book. And if you look at the progression of companies, how the majority of companies, 96% or something's in that, you know, less than a million, you know, 4% in less than five. And we want to get to that 0.4%. That's kind of a lofty BHAG target for us that we'd like to get to. We'd like to make, you know, some profits along the way, but we've been kind of reinvesting that into the growth, because as you know, as you do grow, you find that you need to do a lot of things differently, processes, systems, and people, and you have you know, growing pains along the way that you got to take care of. And I think we're still in that mode.
Yeah. And do you look at revenue per employee or profitability per employee? Do you look at a per head count or anything like that?
We haven't done that. You know, our headcount, along with the growth, we've you know, more than doubled in people too, and they're probably our, you know, our key asset. I haven't looked at in revenue in those terms though.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about your marketing, because in order to grow, you need to have really awesome, incredible marketing. Right. What marketing strategies do you use? You mentioned boots on the ground, getting salespeople. Did you do any like search engine optimization or pay-per-click?
We are finally just getting down to doing the things properly that we need to do. We part of our growth balloon, part of that was related to a replacement market of our own product. So that gave us kind of a bump and gave us some, you know, working capital for that. I would say at best, and being generous, you know, a lot of our marketing in the past, it was kind of ad hoc, you know, what's the quick fix of the day? You know, where do we need to throw something out there? I very, very little strategy. We are now, I actually hired our first full-time marketing person last year. Before that, and kind of we learned some bad habits along the way. Being engineers, we tend to do everything ourselves, right? You know, technical people, we can do that. Why do I need an outside person? And then you find it, you hit that ceiling and you your limitations and you really want to do it right. So I got a good guy last year and he's taken us in new directions and things differently outside the box. So we're starting to slowly now put in place the things we need to. You mentioned SEO. So we've got the foundation work. We just started an IP retargeting program. We're looking more critically at shows because we used to do too many shows. Yeah, it's an easy one. We used to do full color ads in magazines, and are we getting the ROI? So we're measuring some of that and trying to direct it smart. We really got to start planning for 2018 and stop just doing this.
Stop just doing the do and expecting different results. Cool.
Yeah.
So who is your most ideal client? Is it the ambulances or is it the hospitals? Like, who actually buys your product?
Right. So it's a little both. We have a few different product lines. Core product goes in the hospital emergency department. So they're our prime contact. That's what, you know, pays the majority of the bills to keep the lights on. So that's our main target, but it does tie in with emergency medical services. So there's some ambulance services. Actually, one in your backyard, FDNY, is a customer of ours.
Wow.
So you're good hands. But yeah, and we're out there. We're probably in 400 or 500 hospitals around the country.
Wow.
So that's doing well. And then the ambulance side of things, the product there is more mobile telemedicine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, using the technology that we all carry now, you know, for doing live video and audio, and what can we do to take care of this patient better and maybe not go back to the hospital.
All right, right. So even asking them, do we need to come back to the hospital or can I just give them an injection of an EpiPen or whatever it is?
Yeah, and that's where things are going. Right? Healthcare is evolving. It's too expensive. And, you know, emergency departments are overcrowded. So there's programs called mobile integrated healthcare and community paramedicine. I won't bore you with details, but it's different ways of thinking. And not everything needs to go back to the emergency department. There's sometimes more appropriate places for care.
So by hiring a full-time person to help you with your marketing, do you have now like an inkling of what you're going to want to invest to continue to grow profitably? Is it based on, because you're starting to measure ROI, so are you thinking based on profit, based on gross profit, based on revenue? Like a lot of business owners I speak to are not sure how to measure return on investment or how to measure like what marketing budget they should be spending. Do you have any ideas?
So I don't know that we have a great idea. We know that's where we want to get to. You know, typical, it's a, you know, some percentage of X. We're working towards it. I think we're having to put some foundation pieces into place so that I don't know that, you know, this more of a startup phase, the dollar amounts would be the same as if we already had it up and we're maintaining or tweaking along. So we're kind of evolving that, but we got some work to do, but I think we're in the right direction now.
Cool. And especially because you're cutting back on some of those traditional stuff that didn't work. Let's talk about some of those things that some people call mistakes. What mistakes did you do from a marketing perspective where you threw a bunch of money at something and it just flopped?
Yeah. So one of the first ones, you know, is to not measure it. So how do you know if it's working? And you know, you do a trade show and you get some leads out of it, but who, you know, who's tracking those? And then, you know, before you know it, you know, 10 months has gone by and you have to decide, are you going to do that same show again? And how was it? Well, I think it was okay. I think we got some leads out of that. And that's a lousy way to do it. You know, it's not smart. It's not how we should be doing things. And you got to fight those inclinations of, well, you know, we're more noticeable if we don't, you know, appear at the show and balance all that out. And sometimes those are tough decisions. So the metrics, you know, should help us to some degree on that.
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah. No, totally like winging it and not measuring it. Somebody recently came to me and said, Joe, how'd you lose 85 pounds and keep it off over the past 3 years? And I said, well, how much do you weigh? And they're like, I don't know. I don't measure.
Right.
And I was like, if you don't measure and you don't set a goal, then like there's no way for you to get there. You're not going to know if you're succeeding or not succeeding. Even if you succeed, you're not going to know if you did it or didn't do it, right?
Yep. It takes goals for everything. And that's, you asked me about those medals. And yeah, that's part of goal setting, right? If I say I'm going to do that race and I tell people and I sign up and I do it and then I got to finish and then you get that sense of accomplishment, you got a goal and you do that.
Cool. If somebody was entering the world of healthcare and the way that you are these days, what advice would you give them from marketing or from a growing perspective? Would you tell somebody that wants to solve a problem for a hospital or for EMS?
So, you know, healthcare is a tough business. It's growing, and I think it's a great one to get involved with. The real thing comes down to, and this is a marketing sales thing also, right? It's value. You know, what is the value you're providing? There's a million shiny objects out there and cool devices and technologies. The real question is, will they buy it? And that comes down to, do you solve a need? Do you solve a problem? Are you addressing their pain points and their needs? They're busy places. They're frazzled customers. And they're doing things because that's the way they've always done them. And they may not have time to look at something for a change. And you really have to demonstrate the value. And you got to do that through your marketing and such.
Cool. That's really awesome. Now, we spoke about your growth. We spoke about your business. We spoke about your marketing. Let's talk a little bit about you. What's the driving force behind the business? I know that you didn't start it, but you were there from the beginning or from a really long time ago. Like, what's your purpose now to be able to get to that big, hairy, audacious goal of practically doubling your business again?
Yeah. So I'm some of these things I'm kind of self-driven on. I didn't realize it in the past because I wasn't a sports guy. But I'm actually kind of competitive. It comes out in different ways. And, you know, I don't want to lose. I don't want to fail. I want to succeed. I'm not so much in it for status or anything like that. But I want to do good. So I like the industry that we're in. But it's not just about me also, right? It's all the employees and the company and their families. And that hit home. We just had our company picnic outside on Sunday. And you sit there and you look around. And so it's not just me. It's not just my family. It's the employees, but it's their families too. And you see that there. And we're all, you know, together in this together and responsible for that. And that's a big driver.
That's cool. And from the medals on your wall, I can see that you're competitive and you like to win. Just like me and many other entrepreneurs, we like to win. Yep. As a leader of a fast-growing business, as you're growing your business, sometimes things come up and get you bent out of shape, get you stressed out. What do you do to deal with that stress? Everybody has a different way of doing it. What's your unique way of dealing with stress?
Little purple pill called ZzzQuil for the nighttime. It's amazing. And I hear it's a common problem, but those stress type things tend to hit me at about 2 or 3 in the morning. The day I tend to grind through and work on what I need to work on. It's at night when the mind just kind of wanders and the stress starts to hit you and you go to those negative places and dark places of, you know, what happens and what do I need to do? And then you start the next day and you somehow get through that and you push through. But it's getting input from the coach and from my wife and from my partners and my teammates here how to solve problems. And you really don't get past that stress until you dive in and really understand the problem and start to fix it instead of just worrying about it.
Right. They say the best way to extinguish fear is to distinguish what you're afraid of, and that will diminish the effect of it. By the way, what's that bell behind you? Is that like when you want lunch?
So that is part of what you mentioned, right? So scoreboard and measuring and how do we measure success? So when we would get a new customer order that's a relevant order, I put my speakerphone on page all around the building and we ring the bell and everybody in the company knows that we had success and we share that.
Wow, that is so awesome and so unique. I'm totally going to share that with other people. That's really, really cool. So what are some hobbies and passions? You mentioned you do these competitive runs. Is there anything else that you're personally involved with?
I had been involved a lot more. So my kids are now just, my daughter's just finished college. My son's been out about 3 years and working in his career. So my daughter just started her. So it's given us, my wife and I, some time to do more things for us. So we like to do some travel and we actually still do family trips. We just did one in San Francisco and into Yosemite Park and went on a hot air balloon ride over Napa Valley and doing some things that we like to do together. So that's one of them. But, you know, doing the obstacle course races and my son and daughter and my friends get involved with that as well. And we kind of push each other and have a lot of fun out there too. And I find that from a goal point of view is helpful, but it's also about being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's something I get out of it.
Cool. As an entrepreneur, we get asked a lot to do things, especially in EO. We're being voluntold to do things. How do you say no? And what are the things that you specifically say no to in your business and in your personal life?
Yeah. So I'm not good at saying no. And actually did it today. I was listening to one of your podcasts on the way and it kind of gave me, there was a segment in there about saying no. And it kind of gave me the rationale. Yep. Yes, I can do that. It makes sense to say no at times. And it's hard with the team because, you know, you get ideas, you get different directions, you know, squirrels, shiny objects, right, that you want to go in. And we'll play with them to a certain point, but at some point you have to say no. But it's a challenge. It's something we really have to remind each other about. It doesn't come naturally, I would say.
Awesome. How do you plan on leveraging this prestigious award of being on the Inc. 5000?
Well, that's a good question. I think this podcast is an example of that, right? So that, I think that's probably how you found me. Although I think we've crossed paths in at a NEO event or two, and we have some mutual acquaintances in that. But yeah, it's part of the networking and recognition. And, you know, when I talk to others, you know, people kind of know that that means something. Being on that list, it's not everything, but it's a piece, and it may open some doors that leads to other networking business activities that you might not otherwise have gotten.
Yeah, powerful. What learning or advice from others was most helpful to you? I know that you started your major entrepreneurship learning journey in 2014 by getting a coach and joining EO. Were there any books or business gurus or mentors or anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, there's a bunch. And before the EO, I really didn't do any reading, right? I went to school for all those years. Why do I got to keep learning? And then the woman who interviewed me for the application, she asked me an innocent question, much like you just did. What is, so what books do you read? And I had pause because I really had no answer for that. And afterwards, that embarrassed me. It got to me. It's like, you know what? She's right. I should be doing this. Why am I not doing this? Stupid. So but she put me onto a tip because my excuse was I don't have time. But I do sit in the car and commute. And she said, try audiobooks. And I did. And that was 3 years ago. And I'm up to about 45 business books now. So that was helpful. And I think the team here hates it when I start a new one because, you know, you always grab a couple nuggets and you got to share with everybody else. And we're going to try something different. But more succinct to you, if there was a couple in there, I really like the Pat Lencioni books, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, because I'm trying to get the team involved in learning and growing. And some of his, because there's stories behind it, that helps relate to others.
Yeah, that's a powerful book, powerful stories. Really, really great. Do you consider yourself smart or lucky, and why?
Good question. I think I'm smart. I don't think I'm overly smart. Maybe a little above average in that. But luck is about putting yourself into the right positions and it's that intersection, right, of luck and opportunity and success and all that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And one final question to wrap this up with a little bow. We feel successful and we get recognized. How do you personally measure success in your life and in your business when you don't get recognized?
That's a good question. So when you don't get recognized, but you maybe have some internal satisfaction with that. Maybe you feel good about it and you know you did the right thing or you accomplished something. So maybe some others didn't see it. It's maybe a little bittersweet that way, but if you know you did it, you can sleep on that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the opportunity here and look forward to meeting you in person at some point.
Thank you, Kurt. I look forward to that as well. All the best. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. Take care.
If you enjoy the podcast, please remember to share it with a friend or two or three. And remember to leave a 5-star review so other people can enjoy the podcast as well. You can reach me, Joe, at amazing@ajaxunion.com, where you can send what questions you want me to ask the next batch of CEOs that I'll be interviewing. I look forward to hearing your feedback. And remember, stay amazing.